years ago when I was in South America just as a newly ordained priest, there was a teacher in a school in Buenos Aires where I started out my ministry that asked for spiritual direction. Very good person. Professional teacher for many years and very good person. And one of the first things I told her was this. I said, you are called to become a great saint. And she almost fell out of the chair. She was just flabbergasted. She was shocked. Me, a saint? And she looked at me as if I had three heads, no? I was a freak, no? How could... Me, a saint? And I said, yes. You're called to become a saint. So all of you are called to become great saints. And the only tragedy in this world is if we don't become saints. The only tragedy. It's the only tragedy. I'll prove it. I'll prove it. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said this, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. I repeat, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. How's your grammar? Do you know English grammar pretty well? Okay, what's the infinitive of the word be? It's called to be, right? In French, être. In Italian, essere. In French, in Spanish, ser. Right? Be holy. What tense would that be? Did you learn tenses at school today? You don't know what that is, okay? Present, future, imperfect, conditional, subjunctive, gerund, infinitive, split infinitive, pluperfect, no? Am I speaking in Japanese or not? See, don't learn grammar today. That's why everyone can't speak proper English or Spanish, right? Well, I'm going to give you a little free grammar lesson today. Be holy comes from the tense, not the present, nor the future, nor the imperfect, nor the conditional. And it's not a subjunctive clause either. None of you know it, okay. It's called the imperative. The imperative means it's a command. So when Jesus said, be holy, he's not saying if you feel like it, you have to. It's an imperious command. That's interesting. St. Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians, this is the will of your Heavenly Father, your sanctification. Ever hear of Mother Teresa? Ever hear of her? She says that holiness is not the obligation of, not the obligation of the few, but it's the duty of all. So all of us are called to become saints. And that's the only tragedy, is if we don't arrive at that. I noticed at the very end of your prayer, you mentioned a couple of saints, and you mentioned one of my favorites, Dominic Savio. I think the first time I read the life of a saint was when I was 14, I read the life of Dominic Savio. Great saint. And if you ever study literature of different authors, you have John Bosch, who actually wrote the life of Dominic Savio. But I wrote the edition of Peter Lapin, which is translated into English, Peter the Rabbit, because Lapin in French is rabbit, no? But a really good translation of his life. And when he was about your age, a little bit younger, he entered into the office of this priest. And he looked on the wall, and there was a saying in Latin. And he said, "What is that?" "That's my motto." And the priest said, "My motto is give me souls and take all the rest away." And he said this. The little boy said, "I am the cloth. You are the tailor. Make me a saint." You know who that man was? The greatest man of the 19th century in the world, my opinion now. His name was the great St. John Bosco. Amen, huh? Dominic Savio had John Bosco as a spiritual director. Not bad, huh? He had the best. And he helped him. He became a saint. Have you any of you ever heard of the name Dominic Savio? A church right in Bellflower, right? You know how old he was when he died? He was a year older than you kids. 14 years and 11 months. No? Pretty young, huh? What was his motto in his first communion? Morire ante de peccare. Parla italiano. Morire ante di peccare. He said, death rather than sin, that was actually his motto. Great saint. Great saint. Dominic Savio, formed by John Bosco to become a great saint. I'll tell you one last story, then we'll move into our topic, which is related to this. John Bosco, when he was in the studying to become a priest in the seminary, he had a really good friend who he really admired, because his friend Bosco was just so gifted, but this friend practiced more penance. I mean, he fasted more, he did more acts of self-denial. I mean, not that Bosco was a floco, no? This guy, I mean, he was really strong on fasting and penance. So they made a deal. If someone died first, he was going to pray to see if this person would get to heaven. And Camolo was maybe 20 years old. He got sick and he died when he was about 20. So Bosco was in his dormitory. And about a day later, he heard in his room, it was like a train that was moving 100 miles per hour. Then he heard chariots and horses. Then he heard thunder and lightning. And all of a sudden he heard a loud voice, "Bosco! Bosco! I'm saved! I'm saved! I'm saved!" And Bosco was so moved to that, for a couple of days he could barely get out of bed. He was so awestruck. Wouldn't it be great that if you died, you'd be able to reveal to someone, "I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved." Yeah. Amen? So that's the topic today, because we're going to be talking about heaven. You want to go to heaven? So we talked about the saints, because the saints, they're in heaven. We want to go to heaven, don't we? So as they're passing it out, I'd like to suggest an excellent practice. Are you listening? Get in the habit of reading the lives of the saints. You hear me? Get in the habit of reading the lives of the saints. Any of you know the saint that we celebrate today? How long did he live? 100. Lived to be 105 years old. His diet, bread and water. How about that? So today we celebrate not St. Anthony of Padua, but St. Anthony of the Desert. Born in Egypt. So let's dive into it. Let's dive into heaven, huh? Good place to dive, right? What do you think? So the topic, I wrote the topic, home sweet home forever, heaven. Try to imagine the happiest day in your life. The most joyful experience you ever had. The most memorable, unforgettably happy experience in your life. Spend a few moments to bring this incredible explosion of joy you experienced. What was it? I have one. Yeah. I do, and I'll tell you. May 25th, 86. May 25th, 86. Probably about the time your parents were born. Oh, thank you. It was a Sunday. It was the Feast of the Blessed Trinity. I was in the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome. It's packed with seminarians and bishops and priests. So I entered in about 9:30. About an hour later, after the homily and the readings, I knelt down, and I was a deacon. Ever heard the word deacon? And all of a sudden, this man dressed in white with a mitre on his head, with a crozier in his hand, he comes up, and he puts his hands on my head. That person was John Paul II. Wow. Man. The Sistine Choir sing in the background. Mass lasted another hour, an hour and a half, and I got up, and I was a newly ordained priest, ordained by John Paul II. Wow. The day after that, I said my first Mass. Well, you know, my first Mass I celebrated was concelebrated with John Paul II. How about that? And the second Mass, well, really first private Mass by myself, I celebrated in Rome at the Church of Santa Elena on the Via Casilina. And who sang for my Mass were the sisters of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Because I worked with them in Rome. I helped them. So after my Mass, they came up, they knelt down, they were asking for my blessing. And one of them said, Father, come to our house to celebrate your feast. I said, I can, but I've got nine. We've got a big family. Bring the whole family. So I went there. It was only about a mile away from our house. And I knocked on the door, and a sister opened up the door, and they were just so happy. There was about 60 nuns there. They just had made their final vows. And they were just singing, and they were just enjoying life. And all of a sudden, the circle opened out, and this little nun, probably about 4'10", walking slowly with a lot of wrinkles on her face, she drew close to me, and she knelt down, and she kissed my hands. She turned to my mom and said, Thank you, Mrs. Broom. You've given to the world the greatest gift. You've given to the world a priest, your son. The name of that woman was Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Wow. So within 24 hours, I was underneath the most famous person in the world. And 12 hours later, the most famous woman in the world was underneath my hands, receiving my blessing. Happiest 24 hours in my life. 33 and a half years ago seems like yesterday. 86, huh? Like yesterday. Happiest day of my life. Whenever I think about that, it just fills me with joy. What a privilege to be ordained by JP2. And then to see Mother Teresa, and I tried to kneel down, and she said, no, I want to kneel down to you, because she respected the office of the priesthood, which represents Christ. So none of you have ever had a happy day yet? None of you. Boy, it's kind of sad, isn't it? Huh? I can tell you others. I think you should sometimes call to mind, you know, the happy moments in your life. Life isn't, you know, it's not always a drag. You know? And you should all try to be happy. You know, if you have God, you should be happy. You have God. God gives you happiness. I mentioned this more than once. Everyone wants to be happy. I mentioned this several times already. If everyone wants to be happy, why do you see so many kids cutting their wrists? You know, suicide is skyrocketing, especially among young people. Why? For the simple reason is that they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. You cannot encounter happiness except in one place, and that's in God. Yeah. You know, you can buy pleasure with money. Yeah. Buy pleasure with money. But only God can give you true happiness. Amen? Only God can give you true happiness. Huh? And sometimes the poorer people in the world are happier than the richer people. No group of people, I'm starting to really like these people. I like the homeless people. I really do. Drive my car. By the way, it's not my car. It's the L.A. diocese gives me a car until I go. Then I give it back to them. I have a car that's lented. And I meet these people that they're walking the streets. And I roll down my window and I'll pull out about 3 granola bars. I gave a granola bar to this person the other day. Hey, thank you, Father. May God bless you. Thank you very much. Wow. With a big smile on his face. Guy probably sleeps underneath a bridge. Probably got a sleeping bag. Maybe some days he doesn't even have to eat. And he was really happy. Whereas now and then you have rich people who have everything in the world, and they're everything except happy. So only God can give true happiness. I can never forget that. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, that the richest person in the world and the poorest person in the world ends up in the same place, 6 feet beneath the ground. And nadie se escapa, as they say in Espanol. Huh? You're never going to see behind a funeral car a U-Haul van, are you? Are you? Oh. You got a funeral car? Do you have a U-Haul van right behind it?
No.
Why not? You can't take anything to the cemetery, can you? So the saints are people that experience a lot of joy and happiness because they're always trying to place God first. Amen? Okay, so that's the exercise that we try to do, is recognize that true happiness is found only in God. And that's going to be in heaven one day. We hope. Now, another exercise of your imagination. Try to magnify this truly magnificent, joyful experience 1,000 times. a million times. You have it? Eric? Lastly, one more addition to this creative experience. Put the word eternal. This will be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and it'll never end. So this experience I'm speaking about, we were basically 24 hours. It's over, then I hit the ground and into the battlefield again. But once you get to heaven, it's going to be happiness forever and ever and ever, uninterrupted. Never going to end. Heaven. Now, the reality of heaven goes way beyond what you've tried to understand by your imagination. The ultimate destiny of our short lives on earth is to arrive safe and sound at our eternal home, and we call that heaven. We should never lose sight of why we are here and where we are heading and how to get there. Making it to heaven is the end all and purpose of why we are here on earth. So you don't want to be like a chicken with your head cut off, huh? Going around in circles. And we saw a movie, they chop the head off the chicken, he's running around in circles, no? You don't want to be traveling on the freeway without your electronic map. You want to go to San Diego, you end up in San Francisco. You confuse north with south, there's a difference, huh? You have to be a Boy Scout to know that, huh? Or, you ever do archery? You know what archery is? You ever do any archery? Bow and arrow? Never done it yet? It's a lot of fun. But what is the purpose? Is you want to get the bullseye, right? Right, Daniel? The first time I did, I think it was in YMCA, I was about 13. It was a lot of fun. You're kind of stretching it to see, you know. And the first time I ever did it, there was a target, it was about 30 feet away, but here to the wall, a little bit further. And another one was about 100 feet. So the first arrow I ever shot, I shot it. Went really fast, and it went in the far target, and I got a bullseye. And the instructor said, "Wow, a child prodigy. First time I've ever had this happen. A 13-year-old boy, the first time he does it, he gets a bullseye in the far target." And he said, "You know, you're supposed to start with a near target." And I said, "Well, that was my intention." At least I didn't lie, right? So our life is this. We want to get a bullseye. A bullseye, we want to get to heaven. Amen? That's a bullseye, getting to heaven. Huh? So make sure that you hit the right target. Right, Eric? Mm-hmm. Okay, desire for heaven. We should all have an earnest yearning to go to heaven. Do you, or has that thought really crossed your mind, or if it has crossed your mind, then maybe you really never gave it too much experience. Stop right now. What is your heart really desire? You can't tell me you don't have any desires. You're not a dead stick. No? You got emotions, don't you? You ever hear the emotions? You don't have any feelings? No? St. Augustine puts it this way. The human heart is called to love. But we have to choose wisely the object of our love and then to love with all our heart. Amen? Human heart is made to love. Choose wisely the object of your heart and love with all your heart. What is the object of our heart? Jesus Christ. So it's not so much a thing but a person. So now we're going to arrive at the false desires that are out there. Every person on earth has desires, but many of them are false desires that in the end only bring disillusion, sadness, depression, and hopelessness. Desire for pleasure, drink, sexual satisfaction, power, and wealth. These are all the worldly pursuits of so many people. Once they have them, it is like a thirsty sailor who drinks a gallon of salt water. I like that image. Like that, Daniel? Good image, huh? Thirsty sailor hasn't drunk for a whole 24 hours, 2 days. Ah! Drops a bucket, a gallon of salt water. Ah! Is thirsty going to become 10 times worse, right? So it is the people that are pursuing the wrong purpose of life. You know? So, what is heaven? Let's start with a rhetorical question. After this class, where are you going?
Costco or home.
Okay. How about you? Where are you going after class? How about you?
Home.
I knew you were going to say that. And I wanted to elicit that word home. Did you know your home where you're going, it's only a temporary place? Did you know that? It's not permanent. Your home is temporary. There's only one permanent home. We're talking about that now. What is it? What? I thought you were going to say Costco. You can say Costco. No. Okay. Heaven is our eternal home, where we will be with God, Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. So there's a temporary home we're going to go after class, and there's a permanent home, that's heaven. That's where we're heading, right? Okay, let's hit the negative now. What is not in heaven? I think it's a good question, right? So in heaven there's no evil, no evil. Is there evil here?
Yes.
You drive through the streets of L.A. and you see a lot of it, don't you? There's a lot of evil, right? But in heaven, there's no evil. Also, there's no suffering. No suffering. Have you ever suffered yet? Not yet? Is suffering only physical, or is there suffering that goes beyond the mere physical? What? Only physical?
I think it's physical
and
mental.
Could it be mental? Do people have mental sicknesses sometimes? How about emotional? How about social? How about cultural? How about spiritual? How about moral? How about family? I mean, the ramifications of suffering, that's almost limitless, no? And I think we have to come to terms with that. I'm not a party pooper here, but we do have suffering in this life, right? Is suffering good or bad? It's kind of a tricky question, but very important. Suffering good or bad? And Daniel?
So,
yeah, Really, it's neither good nor bad. It depends on what you do with it. Suffering can make you either better or bitter. Yep. A lot of people, for suffering, they become angry and bitter and resentful, and they fall into depression. How about if you suffer and you learn to offer it up? Yeah. So you get up in the morning, you get a headache. And everyone in the family, everyone in your school knows that you have the headache. I mean, everyone. You publicize it. No? You're complaining, you're angry at your mother, slamming the door, okay? In your school, you got a long face. Yeah. That headache is making you a worse person. But if you have a headache, well, I'm suffering, but I'll accept it. I'll offer it up. I'll offer for the conversion of sinners. I'll unite it to the suffering of Christ. I'll unite it to the cross every time we celebrate Mass. That headache is making you a holy person. So suffering is basically, Eric, it's neutral, right? Depends on what we do with it. So try not to waste suffering. In my life, I've visited a lot of hospitals, a lot of nursing homes, a lot of sick people. And so much wasted suffering in this world. I have. As a priest, I've visited many nursing homes, many hospitals, many residential homes. You have people that are old and getting sick. And most people do not know how to offer it up. How did Jesus save us? By dying on the cross, right? He could have chosen another way, but he chose to save us by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. Amen? Okay, there are no tensions, nor wars, nor any fights or conflicts. There are no tears, nor sadness. Sickness does not exist. Earthquakes, storms, blizzards, excessive heat or excessive cold. None of these exist in heaven. Perfect climate, huh? Now this global warming concept, huh? Perfect climate. You'd be in New California, you complain, it's 55 degrees. Go to Minnesota or New Hampshire, 10 degrees below zero for the next 5 weeks, no? And you're complaining because of 55 degrees. Come on. Wimping out, huh? But once you get to heaven, the climate is going to be perfect. The climate is going to be perfect. No? 72 degrees, the sun is coming out, a gentle breeze, hear the birds singing. There's fragrance of spring flowers if you're poetic. Yeah. And much better. So I'm speaking somewhat poetically to you, but Even speaking poetically is not enough to explain the reality. So the human mind, which is so limited, cannot understand the greatness of God. Right, Eric?
Yes, Father.
Okay, so what else in heaven? What else is in heaven with God? The huge number of... you skipped a very important group of people.
Angels.
That's not the baseball team either. Okay? Mike Trout and Albert Pujol, no? Well, I hope they make it, though. Mike Trout is from New Jersey, from my state. Yeah, hopefully, though, they'll make it, too. But the real angels, okay? Right, Angel?
Yes.
Angel's going to be there with the angels. Amen? Hitting home runs, right? Also, the saints. not the New Orleans Saints, the football team, right? The Saints, okay? Will be there forever. All those people who died in the, state of grace. Hey, well said, state of grace. Which means not in the state of mortal sin, right? You die in the state of grace, you're saved. Will be permanent residents of heaven. We hope and pray that our relatives and friends will one day be in heaven forever.
Amen.
Amen? What does St. Paul say about the wonders of heaven? This is one of my favorite biblical verses. The great apostle St. Paul was momentarily taken up to heaven and exclaimed, "Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered the mind of man the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him." Amen? In other words, we can never plumb the depths with our limited imagination how great heaven really is. Human words fall short. Write that in there. Human words, number four. Human words fall short of the reality of the sublime greatness of heaven. See, everything you try to imagine is going to fall short. Even, you know, experience, I told you about my experience with the Pope and Mother Teresa. I mean, that's great. That falls really short of the reality. What else does St. Paul say about heaven? The great apostle underlines the shortness of this life and our sufferings in comparison with the glory of heaven. He uses these words: "The sufferings of the present time are nothing in comparison with the glory that awaits the sons and daughters of God." Remember last week when we were talking about judgment, how short life is, I used that image from the psalm, in which the psalmist says, "Our life is like the lily of the field." Remember? "The lily of the field, it rises its head in the morning, it withers and dies as the sun goes down." Yeah. St. Augustine says, "Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye." Yeah, you blinked. You blinked three times, okay? "Our life in comparison with eternity is a mere blink of the eye." That's how short our life is. Joanna, mere blink of the eye. Short, isn't it?
Yeah.
Another image that I haven't written here, but St. James says, "Our life on earth is like a puff of smoke." Puff of smoke. I remember my father, before he passed away, he liked to smoke cigars, and he liked to smoke a pipe. And he was very creative. When I was a little kid, I'd be sitting next to him, and he would be smoking the pipe, or rather the cigar, and he'd be making these concentric circles. He'd be pa 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 pa. And I'd try to put my finger in those little. Those little donuts, those little rings. Every time I put it in, it already disappeared. That's what St. James is saying. Our life is like a puff of smoke. Try to catch smoke. Try to put that in your knapsack, huh? You're not going to be able to do it, Grace. How hard you do it, it's not going to work, huh? You might end with the smell of smoke, but you're catching that little ring. No. All right, so how does this apply to us? Quite simply this: our life is short and our sufferings are very few. We can compare this, the immense, total, permanent, unending joy that will be ours forever. Once we make it to heaven. In other words, in the midst of the struggles, sorrows, uncertainties, and failures of life, it all ends. And if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who perfects our faith, and live and die in the state of grace, then heaven is ours forever. Any of you ever hear of Saint Teresa of Avila? Ever hear of her name? You know what she says about this? Carla, she says this. Our life is like una mala noche, una mala cantina, mala taverna. Una mala noche, una mala taverna. She's saying our life is like a bad night in a lousy hotel. That's, in other words, you're traveling maybe from here to Mexico, crossing the border there, Juarez, got to spend the night in a hotel. And it's not one of the Marriott or Hilton or the Rich Carlton they have in New York City. But it's a dumpy hotel. You've got smell of smoke. You've got cucarachas running around. You got cholos that are making noise outside, no? Well, it's a motel, okay? Yeah, we could even use the word motel, right?
Yeah.
But it's over, right? Before you know it, the sun is breaking through the sky and it's over, no? Cool. Actually, she says, well, our life on earth is that, like a lousy night and a lousy hotel or motel. Okay?
Motel.
Okay, so you got it, Eric? Okay, can we lose heaven? So once you're in heaven, you can maybe say you're in heaven and you're kind of taking a siesta because you just had a really long walk with Jesus and Joseph and your guardian angel and you're resting there in heaven next to a door. All of a sudden, the door opens. And the devil comes and he drags you out and he pulls you right down to hell.
Whoa, that's a cool door.
And you were just waking up for your siesta and you didn't have enough time to react, no? You couldn't get, Jesus, help me! No, too late. He kidnapped you once forever, no? Have you ever read that in the Bible? No, that's not going to happen. Don't worry, okay? Angela, don't worry. It's not going to happen, okay?
Okay.
Your hair started to go up like this, and I don't want that to happen.
My hair's always like that.
Okay, so never. It is like an athlete runner who has crossed the finish line first. He is crowned champion and no way to lose it. Or it is like a baseball player who is slid into home plate, and he's called, safe! That wake you up? Okay. And they get the wax out of your ears? Okay, safe! Then the umpire cannot change his mind. That player is safe and scored the winning run. You know, it's interesting, though. When I wrote this 2 years ago, it's changed, hasn't it? Do you know that? No, it's actually if the players really believe that it was a bad call, they can actually ask the ump to replay it. So they go to New York City where they actually replay it and they can actually change their decision. So what I wrote, I'm going to have to change this. I wrote this about 3 years ago. That rule didn't exist, so I'm going to have to maybe change that. No, but the idea is this. Once you made it safe to heaven, and you're safe forever. That's the concept. Okay. Of the greatest importance is heaven. Once we've died in God's grace, we are saved and destined for heaven. Write that in there. Forever and ever and ever. Okay. Number eight, I'm just going to explain my own words. Imagine there's a deer. You know what a deer is?
Yes.
You've seen National Geographic? Probably never seen a deer. If you go to New Hampshire, did you see some there when you went? Yeah. They're walking all over the place in New Hampshire. But imagine a deer that is in Arizona in the middle of the summer, and you're walking through the desert. It's hot, 110 degrees. Sometimes it can really go up even beyond 100. And there's no water. So he's walking and walking and walking from 8 o'clock in the morning until about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. Didn't drink one drop of water. But as the sun is going down and he's walking many, many miles, he arrives at vegetation. Vegetation. There's woods, there's green, there's animals. But especially, there's a fresh running stream. He hears it. And he enters into that woods and he sees the stream. What's he going to do? He is going to dunk it and he's going to be drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking to his heart's content. You should have a greater longing for heaven than that deer for the water. Good image, huh? Pretty good writer, huh? Great image, huh? I love these images. You're never going to forget that, baby. I said, ah, yeah. The deer really drink that water. You should have a greater longing for heaven. And in your prayer, you say, Lord, I really want to go to heaven more than anything else. You'll be praying that every day. Now, whether or not you live a long life or short life is not important. Whether or not you've got health or sickness, our health is never perfect. Whether or not you have a lot of money or you don't have anything or you're poor, you know, when you die, you can't take it with you. Whether or not you're famous, you're a Hollywood star, or you're totally unknown, doesn't matter. What's important is that we die loving God. Mm-hmm. Any of you see the movie that came out for a couple months, The Hidden Life? Oh, you got to see it. You got to see it. Maybe just write that down in your The Hidden Life. Great movie. I'd have to go to Pasadena or East LA to see it because it was in Long Beach for about 2 months. No? Great movie. Second World War. Now this guy, he has to write an oath of faithfulness to Hitler. Where does he end up? He ends up in Berlin. And tortured. Great movie. Prefer to die rather than to accept Hitler. You've heard of Hitler, right? Great movie. Called The Hidden Life. He's in heaven now, but he was a martyr. And he, you know, he was beheaded, decapitated, like Colby. Maximilian Colby. Like Maria Goretti. But he suffered a little bit. Now they're in heaven for all eternity. Amen? Okay, so let's, the number 8, just put that, it says, the image of the deer. I already explained that. Let's move on to number 9. What are the 2 worst things that could happen to us in opposition to attaining heaven? You might hear this might be a pretty graphic image. One thing is taking poison and getting your stomach pumped. Another is taking poison and it's too late. There's a big difference, right? Remember the image as I give you the response. Okay, the first is the 2 are related to mortal. So it's a mortal sin. Write that in. Mortal sin is bad. Because you commit a mortal sin and then you lose God. Huh? You lose God. And we're going to pray that we don't commit mortal sin. Well, if you commit a mortal sin, there's always hope. We just have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And go to confession as soon as possible. And you're okay. So there's always hope. But what is worse? Angel? You got it. So, mortal sin is bad, but dying in mortal sin is worse. Dying in mortal sin is worse. It's like drinking the poison but not pumping your stomach, then you die. Got the image? Yeah?
Yeah.
You pump a mortal sin, that's like going to confession. Get it out. Get it out of your system. But if we do fall, you know, try to tell God you're sorry and return as soon as possible. And the beauty is this, is that we are weak. No matter what sin we commit, if we tell God we're sorry, God forgives us like that. Yep. God is slow to anger and He is rich in mercy. Amen?
Amen.
God is slow to anger, He's rich in mercy. We are quick to anger and slow to mercy. We're the other way around. Someone hurts us, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. I'm going to deck you, then I'll forgive you. Yeah? I'll send you to the dentist with a knuckle sandwich, and then I'll forgive you. I want to see you squirm like a worm in hot ashes, and then I'll forgive you. Okay. You ever see a worm squirming in hot ashes? You can imagine it, huh? We want to see the person suffer, and after you see the person suffer, now I forgive you. Now everything is okay. No? We're pretty masochistic, aren't we, huh? Now, God's not that way. God is, as soon as you say, God, I'm sorry, you're forgiven, just like that. You have to try to change then. Don't go back to the sin. And don't go back to the sin. There's a proverb that St. Peter says. You listening? Eric. A dog returns to his vomit. I don't know if you ever had a dog. It actually happens, no? A dog returns to his vomit. He starts to smell it. That's why sometimes the sinner goes back to the same sin. That's the image that Peter is giving to us. And the sow wallows in his mire. You know what that is? A sow is a female pig. Wallows in its mire. You know what mire is?
Yes.
What? Wallows in his mire, which would be the mud. And it's true. Have you ever seen a pig? My sister Mary, she used to live in New Jersey on a farm. And about 6 years ago, I traveled down to see her, and she had a lot of animals. And she had a pig. And I thought it was cool because I was contemplating that pig. That pig! The pig was going around in the mud and eating it up and wallowing in the mud. This is a great image. Huh? Now people go back to their sin. You think someone ever, a drunk, is ever going back to drinking again?
Yeah.
A drug person goes back to a drug again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though it's wrong and ugly, you got the attraction of sin. And who helps us to break it? Is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Yeah. If you love Mary, she helps us to break. That's why you got to pray the rosary every day. And Mary gives us a repugnance. She gives us a real hatred for sin and a real love for God. Amen? Okay, so if we die in the state of mortal sin, then we lose God and heaven for all eternity. May Jesus and Mary help us to keep clear of mortal sin, or if we have fallen, to seek confession and repentance as soon as possible. Number 10. Do you want to go to heaven?
Yes.
Okay. So pray every day to your guardian angel and pray to the saints. That's good too. Pray to the saints. And most especially pray to the Blessed Virgin Mary, that when you die, Jesus will say, "Welcome home and well done, faithful servant." May God help us all to long for heaven, take the proper steps to get to heaven, and to strive to lead other people to heaven. Amen. Good class? So we hope all to go to heaven. Closing prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good mothers, I am yours. Keep me and guard me as your property and possession. The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. May God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you and see you at Mass on Sunday.
Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.